There is a scroll sealed with seven seals. This scroll is the book of God's purposes for the world and particularly for the church. The opening of each of these seals indicates something happening on the earth. How encouraging the opening of the first six of these seals has been for the people of God. Brought them reassurance, given them encouragement and hope. You see, the church in the world is often feeling threatened, marginalized, ridiculed. At times it faces persecution, as in the days of John, who wrote this book of Revelation. But the opening of each of these seals brings reassurance. Christ is governing all things from the throne of heaven and acting for the good of the church, his people. And now we come to the seventh seal. And when this seal is opened, we are again looking out over the whole sweep of history until the time of Christ's return. But now we are looking at that sweep of history, not for what it says to the church, but for what it says to the unbelieving world. What then follows when the seventh seal is opened? Let's look through this chapter and see what we are told. When the seventh seal is opened, there is first silence in heaven. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Everything is quiet. Not a sound is heard for a specific, noticeable length of time. Why? Well, silence gets our attention. Somehow we become accustomed to noise. We expect noise, traffic, background music when you're shopping, the chatter of voices from the beginning of the day to its close. People waken to the radio alarm, and until they lie down to sleep in the evening, they are surrounded with noise. Silence gets our attention and makes us wonder. If the headmaster was to come in to the assembly some morning during the week and stood up to address the pupils, but didn't speak, and for 2 or 3 minutes simply looked around all of the pupils gathered there in the assembly hall, do you think they would be attentive? They would. They'd be wondering. He would have their attention. The silence in heaven is the silence of anticipation. The whole of heaven, William Hendrickson says, stands spellbound and in breathless, silent amazement. Something serious is going to be announced and to take place. And the silence prepares the readers for what will follow. It's interesting to note that in the prophecies of the Old Testament, when the Lord is going out in judgment, again and again, it is introduced by a reference to silence. The silence of anticipation and of awe. The Lord is in his holy temple, Habakkuk writes. Let all the earth be silent before him. Zechariah says, Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. The silence of anticipation and awe. Things are going to happen on the earth. And silence is the proper preparation. When the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in heaven. Secondly, when the seventh seal is opened, there is praying by the saints. We see this from verse 3 down to verse 5. There are seven angels, each with a trumpet which has been given to them. And they are preparing to sound these trumpets, but before they do so, another angel appears, and he has a golden bowl with a great deal of incense in it. The pleasing aroma of this incense rises up to heaven, mingled with the prayers of the saints, we are told. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Now, the word saints, of course, does not refer to a few limited people, a few special people, a limited number who have done something exceptional in their lives so that they have earned this title for themselves. Every Christian is a saint. Which is why when Paul writes some of his letters to Philippi, to Rome, he addresses the letter to the saints in those cities. So the prayer of the saints is the prayer of Christian people. Every believer is given the privilege of prayer. All may approach the throne of grace. All may bring their petitions to the one who rules. All may come with their requests, the prayers of the saints. But our prayers are never perfect. However earnest, however full of faith, however good our motives, they are never perfect. Which one of us would ever say that our praying is all that it should be? None of us. So how can the prayers of the saints be heard before the awesome throne of heaven? It's because they are mingled with the incense. As the prayers of believing men and women ascend to heaven, we're told they are mingled with the incense which is ascending at the same time. Without that incense, these prayers would not reach the throne of grace. But accompanied with the incense, they are acceptable. Incense is a sweet smell. That's really what it means in the Old Testament. The incense was made by men called perfumers to make the sweet-smelling substance. There are many aromas which we immediately recognize as being a pleasant, attractive smell. Freshly baked bread, coffee brewing, flowers in the garden, all sorts of things. They strike us as a pleasing aroma. And we like it. It's a pleasant thing. And so the sweet-smelling incense mingled with the prayers of the saints is a picture of the way our petitions rise before God and are accepted by him. They reach him as that which is pleasing. They reach him along with the incense. So you see how important the incenses mingled with the prayers of the saints. What is the incense which makes our prayers rise to heaven and be accepted at the throne? This incense is the work of Christ, our mediator. He brings our petitions to the throne of God. It is in Him that we are accepted. He takes our imperfect praying and He brings our prayers, our petitions, to the throne of God. And they reach that throne through Him, through His work, His atoning work, and they are accepted. We pray in His name, with the help of the Spirit, and those prayers reach the throne of heaven. It is because of Christ, our mediator, that our prayers are heard. And He Himself is always praying for us. He ever lives to intercede for us. And so when the prayers of the saints, mingled with the incense, reach the throne in heaven, then, as we see, things begin to happen on the earth. These prayers of the saints lead to great changes taking place on earth. In response to the prayers of the saints, God sends the trumpets, and they begin to sound. So we must never underestimate the power of prayer. And we must never limit what the Lord will do in answer to the prayers of His people. When the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in heaven. The saints are praying. And thirdly, when the seventh seal is opened, the trumpets are sounding. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. Now there are seven trumpets, but this chapter deals with the first four of them, the ones we look at. The sounding of each trumpet introduces something which happens within the universe. In each case, the blowing of the trumpet is followed, as you can see here, by devastation affecting some part of the world which man inhabits. And the devastation happens in such a way that it is evidently beyond man's control. These events are governed from the throne of heaven. You may notice that there is a similarity here in the description with some of the plagues of Egypt. You remember the time of the plagues in Egypt and the magicians at Pharaoh's court. And when they saw these things happening, they interpreted them. And they said, it is the hand of God. That's all we can say. We can't explain it by our own pursuits and ways. And so it is with the sounding of the trumpets. And the first of the four trumpets points, as you can see, to fearful damage done to land and vegetation. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. The world which man inhabits experiences this devastation. And then the second of the trumpets refers to the sea and all the ships that sail on it, with their passengers and with the commerce and the trade which they are carrying. It looks like a huge mountain has gone on fire and is thrown into the sea. A third of the sea was turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Someone has written that if the loss of lives and properties in all sea disasters throughout history could be calculated, this vision would not seem at all extravagant. The third trumpet then shows that the waters which men rely on for life, the water in reservoirs, in rivers, in streams, in fountains, are also affected by devastation. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. And then the fourth trumpet shows how the light by which men see, which gives vision, it is affected. The sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, a third of them turned black and dark. Now it's difficult, of course, to be dogmatic here about these things and to be precise. But these are devastations happening in the world which man inhabits. That much is surely clear in the pictures we are given. And there are many parts of the world now and in the past that testify to events of this magnitude. Just before John wrote this book of Revelation, Mount Vesuvius had erupted, covering much of the population in volcanic ash. This devastation, as you see, affects many corners of the world. But the devastation is not total. And we know that because when every area is mentioned, there is a repeated phrase, one third. At least 12 times, or maybe 13 or 14 times, that little phrase, one third, is used. In other words, there is devastation, but partial devastation. Not everything is devastated in this way. The majority of mankind, two-thirds, continue living on the earth without being affected. They may hear about these things, they may see some evidence of them, they may read about them, but it's only a third that is directly affected. So the devastation is real, affecting the inhabited world of man, but it's not total. The trumpets are sounding. And they are sounding continually throughout the history of the world. Over and over again. Relating to God's constant and continuing operation in this world which He has made and rules. A tsunami. A Hurricane Katrina. Many other whose names we don't know. Earthquakes and floods and disaster causing widespread pollution and harm. Things we can't imagine. The trumpets are sounding continually throughout history. United Kingdom's government has in place a disaster and relief committee standing ready. United Nations has similar organizations standing ready. Men know that things like this happen. But do they know that it's the sound of the trumpet? You see, trumpets are used, certainly in biblical times, were used quite extensively as a warning sound. A guard would stand at the city wall, and when he saw an enemy coming, would sound the trumpet. They're warning sounds. So though the sound of the trumpets is not the final judgment, the sound is a warning that there is that judgment yet to come. Think about the darkness, for example. Is it here that's described for us? In verse 10, the darkness in verse 12. Think about the darkness and the plagues of Egypt and how that darkness was foreboding to the people of Egypt and a warning to them of judgment coming. And so each of the trumpets is a warning sound, commanding men to repent. Remember, we said that this seventh seal is addressing the unbelieving world and sending to the unbelieving world the warnings of judgment, summoning men to repent. In Acts we read, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn from sin and seek forgiveness in Christ our Savior. He sends us these warnings, sending in a way devastation to the once perfect earth to bring men to their senses. That's what the trumpet is doing. It's sounding loudly to bring men to their senses. And you see, that's what repentance is. Repentance is coming to your senses. Remember the prodigal son. We're told about him. When he came to his senses, he said, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He came to his senses and he repented. And he found forgiveness and life. And you see, when people living in whatever age hear of disaster affecting the earth or the sea or the water or even the lights of heaven, do they hear in those things the sound of the trumpet, warning of the day of judgment? And at the same time, the trumpet is not just a warning, it is a summons. The sound of the trumpets is a solemn sound, but at the same time, it's a merciful sound. It's calling to men and it's saying, repent that your sins may be forgiven and that you may be rescued from judgment. It's a gracious sound as well as a solemn sound. And the trumpets continue to blow throughout the history of the earth. And in all events and happenings and of all of these things that affect the inhabited world, it's the blowing of the trumpets, and they sound a warning note, but they sound a gracious note. They warn of judgment to come, but they say, repent and believe and be delivered from that judgment. Do men hear the trumpet sounding? Or just look out at things in the world and history and things that happen and let them pass by and try and explain them in naturalistic terms? Or do they hear the trumpet? When the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in heaven of anticipation and awe. There's the praying of the saints who are in some way engaged in the ongoing work of God's sovereign purposes. And then there's the sound of the trumpets, a warning sound that's solemn, but a sound that also is merciful, and which says to an unbelieving and sinful world, repent and turn to God and leave your sin and be delivered from judgment. And doesn't it say to us, never take sin lightly? Doesn't it say to us, keep on repenting? Go on turning from your sin. Never take it lightly. Never treat it casually. And doesn't it say to us, let your heart be filled with gladness, that there is a Savior who rescues you from judgment to come? Doesn't it say to us, let your heart be filled with gratitude and joy to one who came to save from sin and its consequences? Doesn't it say to us, keep looking to him, keep trusting in him, keep rejoicing in him, the one who saves? The seventh seal is opened, and there is silence in heaven, there is praying in the saints, and there is the sound of the trumpet. May the Lord bless this gracious truth to us, and may we receive it by faith and know the benefit and the blessing of it in our hearts.